Tonight we're going to go back to our series and ask the Lord to speak to us. This is a Bible teaching. It's a little different format than on Sunday mornings or Sunday nights, but I believe it's important that we listen to the Lord in the teaching as well. So let's pause for prayer, and those that are having the music afterwards, if you'd get ready for us to sing, we're serving a God of miracles. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for what we've heard tonight, what we've experienced in your presence. You're the Almighty God, Lord, and we ask you to come by the remainder of this service and to continue to impress upon us your greatness and your might and your power and the involvement that you have in our lives. Anoint me to teach tonight, Lord, in Christ's name. Amen. Since the end of last year, we've not been in this series. We were in the series on how to apologize. We get that word from Scripture. But to apologize means to give the reason of our hope to those that ask. I believe if we'll listen, there's more and more that are asking about our hope. They just sang about that. Apologetics has to do with knowing the why of what we believe. It's not a good spot to be put on when someone asks you, what do you believe? And you make the statement, and then they say, why? And you I don't know. Okay? Here's the scripture. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer. This is where we get our word apologetics from. To every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. They want to know about the hope that you have, and you give them an answer. The question we're going to deal with tonight is, do miracles really happen? Do miracles really happen? Now remember, we're talking about a response to this world asking us, do we believe in miracles? Now, I want to tell you, we're living a time where fewer and fewer people are believing in miracles. And I'm not just talking about the world, I'm talking about the church. Someone in conversation reminded me this week of the statistics, and they're very high. It's been so long since I ran across it, I can't give you an exact, but somewhere between 25 and 30% of pastors don't believe in the miracles of the Bible. And even more do not believe that God works miracles today. We're living in a world that doesn't believe in miracles. Now, you see, it's not that folks have investigated and have come to the conclusion that there's no such things as miracles. It's that we're living in a time when people have been taught that it's intelligent and scientific not to believe in miracles. They've never even investigated it. They've never even really applied themselves to understand. And it's amazing that we live in such a society as this. Miracles. I believe the modernists, people of today, are hypocritical on this question, are there miracles? Let me tell you why. You'll talk to them and they'll say, I don't believe Jesus turned the water to wine. I don't believe Jesus can heal of cancer. Because that's outside of science. And yet, just the other day, I saw several of them in a TV studio, and they were interviewing someone. And before you know it, this person they were interviewing had a loss in their family some years back. And they began to talk about how this person had come into the studio where they were at. And all these intelligent TV interviewers were agreeing, yes, they're here and they're talking to you. Yes, and I can tell you know that they're here. And yes, that's the way it happens. And here they supposedly don't believe in the supernatural or miracles, but they readily accept superstition. They don't believe God speaks to people today, but they've spent millions of dollars because they believe somewhere out there there's an extraterrestrial that's going to contact us someday. The surest sign that there is one out there is that he refuses to contact us. But you know, the unbeliever wants to know some things about our faith. They want to know, do you really believe God made a path through the Red Sea? The unbeliever wants to know, do you believe that the sun actually stood still when Joshua asked the Lord to make it pause in the sky? Do you really believe? I mean, that from their perspective, think from their perspective. Do you believe that Jonah was swallowed by a whale, fish, whatever you want to put there? Do you really believe he ended up in the stomach with seaweed wrapped around his ears? Do you really believe that? And then it regurgitated him out on shore? Do you believe that Jesus made the blind to see and the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak and the lame to walk? They want to know, do you really believe this? Do you believe when someone reports a healing, do you believe that? Did these miracles really happen, or are they just primitive ways of expressing spiritual truth? You know, some people say, well, you know, for years when people saw lightning, they thought that was a God throwing light. But we from science have discovered it wasn't God throwing light or bolts. It was just, you know, we know how lightning works now. So they think, well, maybe that's what we believe in. No, we don't believe it. We believe there's something beyond that. I want to talk about this if there were no miracles in a moment here. But I want you to know it's not a matter of just does a miracle happen. It's a matter of do miracles happen at all. Because you see, if there's no such thing as miracles, then God did not create the universe. Right? If miracles don't happen, Jesus was not born of a virgin. He was not God incarnate into flesh. It's important that we believe in miracles. If there's no such things of miracles, then Jesus was not resurrected. And Paul said, if Jesus was not resurrected, you are yet in your sins. It's important to believe in miracles. If there are no miracles, then the Bible is not inspired. If there are no miracles, there's no such thing as predictive prophecy. I'm trying so hard to not to run down rabbit trails. But you wouldn't believe the hoops that liberals have jumped through to try to prove Daniel didn't write the book of Daniel. And here's why. Because Daniel, hundreds of years before events took place by prophecy, gave the details that are now proved by history. And they do everything they can to make the book of Daniel happen after the historical things that happened, when in fact he wrote it hundreds of years before they have. But if there's no miracles, there's no such thing as predictive. Well, I do believe there's miracles. How do we tell people that there is such thing as miracles? Some say God used to work miracles, but he doesn't work them today. I don't buy that either. That's not an issue we're going to deal with tonight, but as far as I'm concerned, if God ever worked a miracle, he still works miracles. How many's with me tonight? To me, it's this simple. Now, we're not going to go back. We've already been here. But the reason I believe in miracles is because I believe in an all-powerful God, an all-powerful creator. If there's a God, and if he has all power, then there are miracles. I believe in God, the God of the Bible. God's just a name unless you define who you mean. When I speak of God, it's not an idea, it's not a philosophy, it's not a power, it's the God of the Bible. And look in the book, the God of the Bible is a God of miracles. Whether or not you believe in miracles depends on what you do with God. Now, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to start where I intended to end up. And if you'll follow with me tonight, I think this will be important in your life. Here's where I was going to end up, but I'm going to start here. What are you going to do with God? I'm going to talk about an open and closed system. What I want you to do is to use this picture to imagine that what you see here, these cogs and gears, I want you to imagine that's everything of the universe at work. That's the atom, the electrons, the neutrons, the protons. That's our bodies. That's the way a plant grows. That's the solar system and the way the plants orbit. This is the workings of the universe. Now, I want you to imagine if there's no God, this is all there is. Notice beyond the cogs, beyond the wheels, beyond the atoms, beyond the planet, there's nothing. How would we be comfortable living in a universe where just the workings of the universe was all there is? But it's worse than this. People that believe this actually put a box around This is it. We're locked into this workings of the universe. That's all there is. There is nothing else, and it's locked in. Nothing can come from the outside. All that is that you see is material. It's natural. If that is true, there can be no miracles. If all there is the elements of the chemical chart, all there is atoms and electrons and planets and peoples and rock and animals, then there can be no miracles if that's all there is. Because who's going to work the miracle? Where's the miracle going to come from? This is what we call naturalism, and this is what most people are today. This is what our universities are. They believe in naturalism. All that is all there is. What you see, the natural realm, the material realm. So this is what you call a closed system. Now there's another view, and I'm just going to briefly touch on it. This is what billions of people believe, by the way, that God is a part of the universe. He's the sum total of everything. God pervades everything that is. God is in the rock. He didn't create the rock. He is the rock. He's in the rock. And I'm not going to get into this, but I'm going to tell you, in this view, God is just part of the cogs and the gears and the wheels of the universe. This is Eastern religions, Buddhism and Hinduism. But in America, it has the name of the New Age movement. You can go into the bookstores today, and they'll have whole shelves on the New Age movement. Well, let me tell you something. If God is a part of everything that is, there can still be no miracles. Because he's a part of everything that is. He's just part of the gears, part of the cogs. But thank God, the gears and cogs, the material realm, is not all there is. There is also God. And God's not a part of the cogs because God is spirit. Hallelujah. He's not a part of the material universe. He created the material universe. Now here's the trouble. Some people believe in God, but they put the universe back in a box. We call these people deist. A deist is someone that will say, okay, God created the universe, but he got everything going. He wound the watch. He makes everything work by natural law, but once he got it going, once he got people having people, once he got the sun in the solar system and he got the earth rotating, he got everything to working, then he went off and left it, and he never touches it again. He made it so good, got the watch finely tuned and wound, and it's run. And so God never does anything in the universe. You know what they've done? They put the universe back in a box and put God way out there somewhere in the universe. And God and the world never have any relationship again. By the way, there's a lot of deists. If this is true, then once again, there can be no miracles. All we've been talking about so far is a closed system. The universe is bounded. What is. I hear this so many times anymore, and I know they talk about circumstances, but I'm tired of hearing it because it's a naturalistic point of view. People say, well, what is. That's naturalism. That's not believing in God, because believing in God is what is can be changed. How many believes that? How many believes if you put God in the equation, what is can be changed? So instead of a closed system, let's take the box off. And let's say it's an open system and God is here. Now if we take the box off and there's a God, then God can get in there and he can change the gear. He can grease the cog. He can change things, repair things, fix things. And you know what we call this? Theism, but it's a miracle. You got your body, you got what happens with your body, something goes wrong. But not what it is, because there's a God, and the box is off. God can reach down, he can fix what's wrong. Amen. How many believes we're serving a God of miracles? Now, here's the trouble, and I'm just going to briefly touch on this because this is more theological. Some people believe the universe isn't in a box, and they believe in God, but you know what they do? They put God in the box. So putting the universe in the box, they put God in the box. They'll say things like, yeah, Jesus worked miracles, and God worked miracles in the Old Testament, but ever since the book of Acts, ever since the New Testament, miracles have ceased. God no longer works miracles. You know what they did? They put God in the box. You know what's going to happen? You get the same result. No miracles. Well, I don't believe the world's in a box, and I don't believe God's in a box. I believe God can work miracles. This brings us to a question that's screaming to be answered all through this. What is a miracle? And we're going to talk about this. Now, here's the problem. We ruin good words. How many knows we ruin good words? Amen? I got an illustration here. I just don't want it to be on tape. But I remember what you, Sister Linderman, used to say about my ties. Does anyone remember that? Okay. We ruin good words. We say, I love God. And then we turn around and say, I love pizza. We use the same word for pizza that we do for God. We ruin words. So what is a miracle? I want to talk about what a miracle is not. A miracle isn't something just unusual and unexpected. Here you are, young person. All year long, you've struggled to pass. And there's a test you're taking. Your parents are concerned about it, and you're concerned about it. And you get your test back, and it's an A+. And your parents say, it's a miracle. Is it really a miracle just because it was unexpected? Years ago, I don't know why I was thinking of this, and I got to pick up speed here, but when I was young, we went over to a cousin of mine's house, and they were building an addition on. And when we got there, her husband was working with the hammer. He saw us. He stopped. He just got it framed. And when he saw us, he's going to take a break. So as he backed up to sit down, I can see this like yesterday. This has been about 30 years or more ago. As he backed up to sit down, he just gave that hammer a toss towards the corner. And that hammer went through the air and landed on its head just like this and just balanced there. Now, you can say that was a miracle. I don't think so. It looks like it, but it was totally unexpected. A miracle is not just something that causes wonder and amazement. Now, I've said this. I've said it when a child is born. It's so amazing. It's so wonderful. You say, now that's a miracle. But it's really not, because it just happened the way God designed it to happen. You can talk about what a wonderful thing it is and what a wonderful creator we had. But there's been, I mean, just in our time, there's been 7 billion of these born. That's a lot of miracles. I've watched a caterpillar become a butterfly. I say, that's a miracle. Well, not in the biblical sense. It's wonderful. It's amazing. I even think snowflakes that no two are alike in the design. I've heard people say it's a miracle. No, it's just totally amazing and awesome. Some say, something that's unexplainable. Now, that's a miracle. Just because we can't explain it doesn't mean that it's a miracle. You may not be able to explain how they pulled the bunny out of the hat, but that's not a miracle. That's trickery. That's illusion. Some say that a miracle is that which violates natural law. This is the most dangerous, because I don't believe this. This separates God from natural law. It makes natural law God. And here is even where we as Christians got to be careful. We talk about miracles breaking natural law, but they don't. Miracles go beyond natural law. Now, let's do this real quick, and then we'll move forward in a hurry. We get this information out of my way. Come help me, Noah, here. How many knows what the law of gravity is? Let me give it to you real scientific, okay? You ready for scientific? What goes up must come down, okay? Now, the law didn't make it happen. It didn't do it because I said it. I said it because that's the way it does. God made it that way. Okay, come on up here. Now, some people say that a miracle is a violation of natural law. So here, I drop it, it falls. It's going to do that every time. But what happens if I drop it and Noah catches it? He didn't violate the law of gravity. It's still there. If you don't believe gravity's still there, I'm going to show you that it is. Let go. It's still there, right? What he did, he didn't violate it. He intervened. So when God works a miracle, he doesn't violate natural law. He intervenes. Let's work a miracle. You want to work a miracle? It's going to fall, right? In fact, it is falling. But Noah intervened. He didn't violate anything. There's no tickets for breaking the law of gravity. He intervened. And when God works a miracle, thank you, he doesn't violate his laws that he established. He intervenes. When you see an airplane fly, you don't say, it violates gravity. No, there's just another law at work. And so, it's not the breaking of a law. Let's talk about what a miracle is quickly. A miracle is an act of God beyond the descriptions of natural law. In other words, you cannot explain it with the law of physics. You cannot explain it by natural law because it's beyond that. A miracle is an extraordinary event that is evidence that God has intervened in the affairs of man or the universe. I'm going to tell you, there are miracles. Let me give you one more definition of miracle. It's when God breaks into, he changes, he interrupts, he intervenes in the ordinary, usual course of things. Let me give you a rough illustration. When we lived in Neosho, we liked this Chinese place. Actually, it was a Korean that ran it. Chinese place. We really liked it. And for some reason, he took a liking to me and my wife. I don't even know if he knows my name. But he liked us. We came up here. We was gone several years from the place. We go down there at that big meeting, and that place, by the time we would get there many times, it would be full of people waiting for their seats. I mean, the foyer was full, the inside was full, all waiting for a seat. I would walk in. Now, there was a process. They put them in order, and they would call them when their time came up. I walked in, and he looked up from coming out of the kitchen and saw me walked in, my wife and I. And he saw us, he smiled real big, and he said, come here. And took us around all those, oh, it just bothered me so bad. Took us around all those people and set us down. He can do that. You know why? He's the owner. He made the rules of his restaurant. Just tore me up. I want to tell you, God created this universe. And there's a process of the way things work. But because he owns it, he can intervene and do as he pleases. And that's a miracle. I want you to know the one that created this universe, he can tweak it when it needs. That's why when I pray, I like to pray this way when people need prayer for their body. I pray, God, you made these bodies. Therefore, you can heal them. Hallelujah. The creator, the maker, amen. He can intervene and fix what's wrong. Can you say amen? So I would like to say tonight, it's not that God's not at work in natural law. That's the way God usually acts. How many knows the Bible says God holds all things together? Listen, you may think I'm getting spooky, but listen to me. Just stay right with me. When the law of gravity works, God did that too. He made that. He holds this universe together. Why do those electrons not fly off from that nucleus of protons? Why does it stay there? No one can explain it except I can. God holds it there. So natural law is the way God usually acts. But a miracle is the way, thank God, he sometimes acts. Praise the name of the Lord. Aren't you glad he's able to do it? Let me pause long enough to talk about medicine. We either give the doctors too much credit or not enough. What are you talking about? If you get to thinking about it, why can a doctor be helpful? Because number one, God made our bodies with the process of healing. If certain conditions are there, the body will heal. Number two, God put ingredients, whether it's in a flower or in a mineral or a vine, God put materials in this universe that will help our body heal. And God created man, and especially some men, with the skill and the ability to gain knowledge to take those ingredients that exist in the universe and to put them in the body and help the body, aid the body in healing itself. So look, before we get all anti-medicine, we need to talk about the wonder of how God created this universe. Have you ever had a cut? Isn't it wonderful how that thing heals? You start bleeding, it stops bleeding. I mean, you get so sick, you don't think you'll ever recover. And then there's something goes on in your body and kills the germs. And then the doctor's able to give you something to speed that. So don't be anti-medicine. And yet on the other hand, the doctor ought to realize that all he's doing, yes, he's got to be commended for his hard work and his hard study, and he's got to be commended for those things, but he needs to realize he's just working with the universe as God made it. That's natural law. And God works through that. God works through medicine. Amen. So you had the flu, and 3 days later you got better, and you thank God. You ought to thank God. Was it a miracle? No, but God was still at work because he made the body to recover from flu. But we don't want to leave it with that and just say God works through medicine and natural law, because there's sometimes that natural law has come to the end of what it can do. The doctor's come to the end of his knowledge. The medicine has come to the end of its ability. The body can't overcome what it has. And then God steps in and he works a miracle. Hallelujah. I like it when he works the way he does sometimes. Praise the name of the Lord. Miracles are not psychomatic. Some people say, well, the only people that get healed in church are those that just think they're sick. So now they think they're healed. I'm telling you, Jesus works some miracles. Leprosy is not somatic. You can tell it's a real problem. Can you say amen? People that are blind, that's not just something in their heads. It's evident. Jesus laid his hands on them. No medicine could have done that. Miracles are not just unexplained phenomena. Columbus got in trouble with the Native Americans. They're getting ready to kill them all. Columbus, he knew his charts, astronomical charts, and he said, tonight, I'll take the moon out of the sky. They laughed at him, but they gave him time to see this. He just knew it was going to be a lunar eclipse. And that night, sure enough, the moon began to darken and the Indians fell down in fear. That wasn't a miracle. That was just what to them was unexplained phenomena. Amen. I'm going to skip some of this so we can come to an end. I'm going to say this. Miracles are miraculous. That's stating the obvious, but let me put it this way. I believe in miracles. I believe in the power of God. But I've seen too many meetings where the preacher got up in front of the crowd and said, this person's healed. And I'm looking saying, huh? I didn't see anything happen. I've seen them pull them out of the wheelchair and hold on to their arms and drag their feet and say, God healed them. They're walking. Listen, miracles are miraculous. I'm telling you what. I saw a lady, in my mind, she was in her 80s. I know she was up. That couldn't walk. I seen her heal. She not only walked, she took out running around the church. See, if it's a miracle, you don't scratch your head and say, huh? Miracles are miraculous. How many believes that? Martha said, Lord, don't let him open up that tomb. He's been dead 4 days. He stinks. Jesus said I not unto thee, if thou wouldest believe, thou wouldst see the glory of God. I'm telling you, when Lazarus came out of that tomb, there was no doubt in anybody's mind. Miracles are realized by the recipient. I shouldn't even have to state it. I'm tired of seeing what's supposed to be miracles and the preachers trying to tell the person they're healed. How many members of the testimony from Azusa Street last week? The blind woman sitting in the church, they're all praising God, and suddenly she jumps up and says, sweet Jesus, I can see. They try to convince that man in Jesus' time that had been born blind, and Jesus had sent him to the pool of Siloam to wash, and he washed and came seeing. They tried to convince him that he hadn't really been healed. But I'll tell you what happened. Here's what he said. They started saying, you know, this Jesus, it's trickery, and Jesus is a sinner. And the man had been healed. He said, whether be a sinner or no, I know not. But one thing I know, I was blind, and now I see. He knew it. One thing I know, I'm telling you, if it's a miracle, you know it. The woman felt in her body when that healing virtue came in. You won't have to convince somebody. It's a miracle. And then I believe miracles are verifiable. If it's really a miracle, you have no fear of going to the doctor to verify it. In fact, Jesus encourages, how many knows this? When the lepers were healed, Jesus said, go show thyself to the priest. What was the purpose of that? It was the priest that would declare them cured. Amen? They're verifiable. Let's go back to that story. The Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight until they called the parents of him that had received his sight. And they asked them, saying, is this your son? Look at their skepticism. Is this your son who you say was born blind? How then doth he now see? His parents answered them and said, we know that this is our son, and we know that he was born blind. And they asked, and anyway, we'll get that later. The parents said that because they feared they'd be kicked out of the synagogue. But I just want you to know, if it's really a miracle, it'll be verified. And then miracles are not without a purpose. They're not just fantastical exhibitions for a show. Jesus never did this. I remember I was a waiter help at a fancy restaurant in high school, and this college guy, he's going to try to shake my faith. He said, what about those books that never made it into the Bible? I said, oh, that's the first I'd heard of them. He said, yeah, I know them now to be the apocryphal books. He said, yeah, there's miracles in there where Jesus took clay and made little pigeons and threw them up in the air, and they became living birds, and he'd shoot them down with the fire from his eyes. That's totally out of character of the miracles of the Bible. Jesus never did anything to put on an exhibition to wow people. Every miracle he did, it had a purpose. Jesus never did fantastical things. Miracles that are outside of Christianity, they're fantastical things. A person becomes a tree, a talking tree. Jesus never did. He never made a cow fly. I mean, there's no purpose in it. There's purposes in Jesus' miracles. So what was the purpose? Well, miracles confirm faith. I like this verse. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Canaan of Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed on him. Now I want to tell you, miracles of healing, they do alleviate suffering. And God does care when people are suffering. But the primary reason God heals someone isn't just to take away their pain. He heals them so people can see the glory of God and their hearts be turned to him. My heart was broken when I talked to our sister this week about her husband with cancer. And she told me on the phone, we just need a miracle. And we need to pray for that. But I want to tell you, when you pray for a miracle, it's not just in terms of wanting to see the pain taken away, though we're all moved by that. But I believe if we would pray with this motive, oh God, men need to see your glory. Men need to see you as you are and who you are. If we begin to pray in terms of God, show your glory to a lost world. Let them know that there is a God in heaven who intervenes in the affairs of man. That's the purpose. And when they happen, they'll confirm faith. Now, when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover in the feast day, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did. Miracles not only confirmed the faith, they confirmed the message. Jesus said, go and preach the gospel. They went and preached, Brother Rose. They cast out devils. They laid hands on the sick and they recovered. They spake with new tongues. They drank poison and it didn't kill them. And the Bible summarized it this way. They went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Why did he work the miracle? He worked the miracle to say this gospel about Jesus Christ, this gospel about forgiveness of sins, this gospel about eternal life. It's a real gospel. I've got the power to give you eternal life. Let me show you. I'll heal this person. If I can heal this person, you can know I can forgive your sin. Confirm the message. It confirmed the messenger. God also bearing them witness both with signs and wonders and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. Last of all, I want to look at this. I believe in miracles because I believe in an all-powerful God. But I believe in miracles because I believe in Jesus. Historical miracles that are in the book. I believe he turned the water to wine. I believe he divided the fish. I remember I got a hold of a book in the library as a teenager, and it said Jesus didn't do any miracle about the fish and the bread. It's just that when Jesus got the little boy to share his lunch, that just touched everybody's hearts, and everybody just started sharing with everybody. That don't explain all those fragments they took up. Oh, I don't have time here. I want to pause there, but I don't have time. Jesus' miracles were done in public. He said, I have spoken openly. Later, the apostle said nothing was done in a corner. Jesus didn't take people to a back room where he didn't have a stage where he controlled it. He was right out in the street, in the synagogue, in the temple, in the marketplace, with people around him. If it had been sleight of hand, someone would have seen it. I mean, there were people around him at every angle. Jesus' miracles were public. That means something to me. I don't have time here, but you know, UFOs, Bigfoot, they only happen in unique situations, never when you get everybody there. Jesus' miracles were done before unbelievers. Here's the thing that makes me want to shout. Jesus' enemies, those that didn't believe he was who he said he was, could never deny that a miracle took place. They never could, because they knew it was real. Even his critics, the Pharisees, they knew the miracles were real. Jesus' miracles happened over a 3-year period of time. It wasn't just an accident. It was a consistent thing. Jesus' miracles were backed by the testimony of the cured. I'm healed. I was blind. Now I see. Jesus' miracles were miracles. No other way to explain it. Jesus' miracles were believed by those who did not follow him, yet they could not deny that they were real. Amen. They gathered the chief priests, the Pharisees, and the council and said, what do we? For this man doeth many miracles. They wanted nothing else to stop him, but they could not deny he worked the miracle. Oh, hallelujah. That old ruler of that marriage, he didn't know where that wine had come from. But the Bible said, but the servants which drew the water knew. Hallelujah. Would you come, music? I want to tell you, last of all, it's important because Jesus' miracles cannot be taken away and there still be Christianity, as with most religions. Take all the miracles out of other religions and you still got that religion. But take miracles out of Christianity, you no longer have Christianity. Paul saw this clearly. He said, if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, our faith is vain. We're yet in our sins. We've preached in vain. Thomas Jefferson tried this. As brilliant as a man he was, he tried to take out all the supernatural, miraculous things out of the New Testament. His New Testament shrunk in size. But sadly, it ended and they put him in a tomb. There's no faith there. There's no hope there. But oh, with the miracles, the God intervening in his creation. I know I've told you this before. I'm going to do this real quick and then I'm going to tell it. Instead of putting the universe there, I'm going to put you. That's you. Don't put yourself in a box and say this is all there is. You with your home, you with your family, you with your workplace. Don't say this is all there is. We're locked in here. No, admit that there's a God. And not only is there a God, you're not in a box. Amen. God at any time can intervene in your world. He can intervene in your home. He can intervene in your body. He can intervene. You're not closed up in a box, and God's not closed up in a box. There can be a miracle in your life. I've told this many times. It's one thing about having a pastor for a while. You know his stories. Amen. But I can't get over this. I'm going to tell it in closing. I went to a Christian school when I was principal, Christian school convention in Chicago. If I'd known the full extent of it, I probably wouldn't went. But that place was full, that keynote address, that opening ceremony. I mean, it was a huge auditorium. People were up there, just filled that place. And the speaker got up and he began to speak. He didn't call us by name, but I could tell he was making fun of Pentecostals. And he was saying things like, there's people that believe that God still heals in modern times. And he just made fun of that. He criticized that. He just went on and on. You know, God quit working miracles in Bible times. It's all over with. And anyone that believes that's foolish. We came to the end of that meeting and we broke down to individual groups. We selected different courses to take. I went in there and I thought, oh, we're going to get it again. We had a priest from another denomination. A priest. And he got up and he said, I want to comment what that keynote speaker just said. I said, here it comes again. I'm going to get the second dose of making fun of anyone that believes that God still works. He said, yes, I want to comment. It's not in my notes, but I want to comment. He said, I don't want to sound critical of him, but I cannot say, this is what he started saying, I cannot say with him that God no longer works miracles supernaturally. He said, there was a time I would have said that. He said, but in my church, I had a young couple. They had a baby born. Its spine was open. It was blind. It had a hole in its heart. It was deaf. It had all kinds of other problems. They brought that baby to church when they could. And he said, you got to understand, this is not our custom. He said, other churches do this. We never do this. He said, this was totally out of character of our services. But in the middle of our liturgy, this young couple, man and wife, stood up and started coming down the aisle with the baby. I don't know. I didn't know what they were doing. It startled me. Startled everybody. He said they came to the front and they called him, whatever they called him, Father, we've been reading in the Bible and it says that if someone is sick, if you'll get the oil and have the elders put it on them and pray for them, that God would raise them up. Listen, Father, you see our little baby, but we want you to do this. They had the oil for other purposes. He brought it out. He said, we'll just do this to get him back in their seat. He called a few of the leadership up. They put oil on that baby and prayed. He said, the next morning, I got a phone call. The mom was shouting. She said, my baby can see. It can hear. We've had it to the doctor. There's no hole in the heart. He said, that man out there can say what he wants, but I've seen it. He said, I know God still works. Hallelujah. Would you stand to your feet? Hallelujah. Oh, let's praise him across the building. Yes, we believe in miracles, and we need some miracles. We need God to intervene and show his glory and show his power. Oh, hallelujah. Let's worship him tonight.
Yes, I know.